Scream.
Well, so, on the subject of confusing and alienating and, well, Jupiter Ascending, guys, our main feature presentation of the night, seen by me, Joseph, and Beth. Well, let's have a clip.
Stinger said that you attacked an entitled once.
Stinger talks too much.
Is it true?
Doesn't matter.
We all do things we can't explain.
I said it was in my genes. A defect of my genome engineering.
Could explain a lot of things about me. Like the fact that I have an uncanny ability to fall for men that don't fall for me.
Right, so that clip unfortunately stops before the really important bit. Now, the really important bit is what Channing Tatum then says to Mila Kunis is, "You're royalty. I have more in common with a dog than you." And Mila Kunis responds by saying, "But I love dogs. I've always loved dogs." And this is played completely straight as a genuine, you know, romantic, emotional moment in the film. And, well, okay.
Sorry, I'll give it up to Beth first.
Yeah, she does kind of, like, realise that it's a stupid thing to say, but it did seem like it was serious.
At the time.
As well. Like, mistake.
It's got to be romantic. So, Beth, anyway, what did you think of the masterwork that is Jupiter Ascending?
It seemed to me more like a kind of fairy tale sci-fi, because it was a typical kind of, like, damsel in distress, and then for some reason, Channing Tatum is like the White Knight in shining armor, but he's an albino wolf, lice.
Yes.
But it was the whole thing was quite unnatural. Like the fight scene seemed, they lacked tension and stuff, and it was all a bit predictable. And even like the thing with like where in that clip where she's like decided that she's fallen in love, it like it came too out of the blue. Yeah. It was just like, oh, this is the next thing that needs to happen. There needs to be a love subplot. But I remember, like I looked up some stuff about it and then saw what people were saying. And people were saying that because it was delayed from, it was supposed to be out last July, but it was, like, pushed forward to February. But I kind of feel that it's, like, been such a massive flop. And it was really expensive to make as well, because obviously, like, they got a big budget because they did The Matrix and stuff. But like, I feel like if it was in like the summer blockbusters, it would just be like one of many that was kind of like you go to see it just for a casual, just to watch something. It's not actually pretty trashy. It's not actually very good. But because it's like a standalone thing, it seems like a bigger deal. But it was also awful.
We think
Eddie Redmayne as well.
Yeah, go on about Eddie Redmayne.
It was incredible for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, Eddie Redmayne's performance. Can anyone do a good impression? Because this has to be seen.
It did sound
to
like Voldemort.
It's Voldemort with a bit extra. It's my mother.
Destroy all the ships outside of Earth.
And then he just screams. He screams, and then there's a quick cut to a big thing
and, like,
happening.
Eyes watering.
I know. Oh, it's crazy, that performance.
I laughed more in that film than most comedies I've ever watched.
Yes, and everyone was laughing.
Yeah, I don't think it's a very good sign when the audience is laughing like at lines that you've written.
Yeah, I think if it had been just me and Joe sitting in the corner laughing in that slightly pretentious, you know, like, ha ha ha, silly people and their blockbusters. But it wasn't. The entire cinema was laughing to the point where it was quite distracting to the thing. It was people would just laugh at key scenes and drown out the noise, and it was ridiculous.
To be fair, I think we pretty early on realised what a load of
tosh is fine.
Tosh, yeah, I nearly said the other one. What a load of tosh the script is from the very opening line. And I remember us just laughing openly, and everyone else seemed a bit more willing.
The
opening line is like, I've always found, beautiful angels in the sky. No, what are they? Beautiful dreams in the sky. And talking about the stars.
And it's beautiful dreams.
It just comes out of nowhere and it doesn't mean anything. And it's just a nonsense opening, which is kind of like really gratuitously violent for a film that's basically just fantasy fiction nonsense. But then that we were laughing, and then I think everyone else was trying to actually get to grips with it. You know, they were more open-minded about it.
Yes. Yeah.
Then Eddie Redmayne comes on screen for the first time, and then it was just non-stop laughter from the end on.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything goes.
My mother.
And the plot. I mean, we were talking about incomprehensible plots with Inherent Vice. Well, let's talk about, you know, this film.
Wow.
I had no idea what was going on.
Anti-capitalism is the plot.
Well, there was an anti-capitalist element in it, certainly, but there was also something about how people can be reborn as a kind of genetic mirror of a previous person.
Which, let's also just briefly say, is directly lifted from their last film, Cloud Atlas, which is an adapted screenplay and not an original one.
Yes.
So they're stealing ideas here.
Yeah, they did kind of... It was kind of like a mishmash of, like, loads of different tropes from different films.
Definitely.
They were just like cherry picking which things they wanted to use.
But it felt less like, you know, this sort of glorious pastiche of sci-fi and fantasy.
Yeah.
And more like we've got to cram in everything we can, because otherwise people get this is something. After a while, you've got to have a certain level of consistency in, like, set design. Let's just say, because when every single place is, this is going to be a mixture of Renaissance, Egyptian, and, like, ultra-modern art, and we're going to have as much of it in as possible, it's going to be the brightest colours possible, there are going to be 8 billion pixels on the screen at any one time, it just gets utterly meaningless. It seriously does.
And then when it does physical sets, it does them terribly.
Yes.
It has Mila Kunis running, oh, look, that corridor's suddenly on fire, and then she runs away, and then another corridor suddenly... And it just looks a bit cheap and tacky.
It's kind of like excess, but lazily done.
Yeah,
absolutely. Really distinctly, the final scene, and not just because there's fire in it, but it really distinctly reminded me of the lightsaber fight at the end of Revenge of the Sith. Yeah. Where it's a massively overlong sequence with way too much CGI, which from time to time awkwardly cuts back to a physical set, and it looks ridiculous.
Yeah, it's definitely the prequels, not the sequels, in terms of a sci-fi epic. And also, I do think that it's a kind of weird remake of It's a Wonderful Life. There's an idea that...
We
should talk about Mila Kunis, because Mila Kunis is the everywoman. We are her, she is us.
Oh, yes. Don't you just identify with Mila Kunis?
She's seen cleaning a toilet, and that's, like, the worst job possible to have, but she's seen cleaning a toilet with the most beautiful makeup in the world
and a hairdo
and not cleaning it properly
and she's just gently massaging
the rim.
And then there's a great bit where she's dusting some blinds and she just basically rubs it over and then walks to another her performance. I mean, I've always kind of liked Mila Kunis, but especially because of Family Guy, and I like Ted as well, but this performance is rubbish. I mean, she can't
it's really terrible.
And Channing Tatum's just...
I like Channing Tatum a lot.
I love Channing Tatum.
To be fair, I think I'm pretty sure that... Okay, sorry.
He's okay in this one.
Do you not like him?
Not particularly. I think it's like the films I've seen of him.
Fair enough.
He has got his top off a lot, which is good. So that's why
that's about as high point as a film yet. Here's what I liked about it. Let's try and be positive.
All right.
It was an original screenplay.
Mm.
I had no idea where the story was going because it was so ridiculous. And it was original, and I didn't know, oh, this is going to happen because this was a real life story or something. I didn't know the story, and that's good.
Mm. Yeah, I found it interesting.
Yeah, like you said, it's like a fairy tale. I really like that idea, but it's like an original, modern, souped-up space opera fairy tale. Certainly, it's a space opera, and we don't see that very much anymore.
Mm. Apart from Guardians of the Galaxy, I suppose, mostly.
It's not campy enough. This was super campy.
Okay,
maybe not intentionally.
And it was campy, I think it was campy, without intention. Whereas Guardians of the Galaxy has a kind of sardonic, you know, jokiness to it that it knows it's kind of taking the mick a bit. But the best, talking about good things in it, the best bit is this kind of bureaucratic sequence, which is completely lifted from Brazil, the film Brazil, and then Terry Gilliam turns up in a cameo, and that bit's kind of... I really rather enjoyed that, and that has
That was a great example of we've got to have this bit in it.
You know,
it feels like halfway through. How long was it being made for? Like 5 years development or something, filming.
So.
Like at some point during
the CGI
it,
took
one
a lot
of them,
time, so.
One of the Wachowskis watched Brazil and went, we should have this in here. Oh, I'm sure we can just we'll fit it in there somewhere. And then they just have this utterly unnecessary sequence of, you know, bureaucratic parody. And like, if you're going for this film as a commentary on anything, it's a commentary on, you know, like manic capitalism, right? And it doesn't fit to have a sort of parody of British bureaucracy or something in there. It doesn't make any
parody
sense to me.
Parody of British bureaucracy with an incredibly powerful royal family and a load of winged lizard men. And people in gimp masks with no arms and machine guns. It's actually, the more I think about it, the more I feel like I...
Absolutely insane.
Yeah, I was just on drugs. I mean, it was just...
The Elephant Man as well.
Oh, the Elephant Man. There's just an Elephant Man in it. Just being...
It's disastrous, actually, the film. It really... I think the point at which I knew I wasn't going to have to take it seriously was when the lizard dragon people just sort of flomped onto the stage. Eddie Redmayne, as a sort of great villain introduction, walks on, flanked by a line of 20 or so lizard men who have wings and they're like dragons, but they also have comical facial expressions. And they just traipse behind him in this ridiculous way, which is nothing but comedy. And at that point, the movie was gone for me. I was never going to think this is any... So I think, actually, just, like you said, drugs. not that anyone on screen would condone...
I imagine it would be good, though.
...strong drug use, but... For goodness sake.
Take a lot of, maybe a lot of Lemsip and then go and watch it. That's maybe we can say that. Not too much.
Four or five bottles of Lemsip. Just be as high as possible. I mean, what was going on?
So bad it's good, Harry, Beth?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I found it hilarious.
I did as well.
I think if you have the time and the money, you should be seeing this film as soon as possible.
Yeah, it's kind of delightfully high camp. It's like Cleopatra levels of nonsense.